Good afternoon, everyone. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-18-434 and PU-18-435. It is 1:32 p.m. on Wednesday, July 10th, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosches, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't either.
Commissioner Christman?
Just one question. Is this one hearing for both, or are we doing one and then moving to the other?
That is a good question. Steve, how did we notice? That's two hearings.
But not two separate times.
To be consecutive.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be discussing PU-18-434.
So I just don't know if we break in between, if it's two separate recordings for the record, or
I think so.
Okay, so we'll reopen on the next one, but this is for PU-18-434. This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant does go first in this type of proceeding, but before starting, we can go around the table and have everyone identify themselves, starting with staff.
Jerry Lynn with staff.
John Shue with staff.
Victor Shook with advocacy staff.
Patrick Vaughn, staff.
Tammy Eberle with Montana Dakota.
Carl Liebitz, MD Resources.
Larry Oswald with Montana Dakota.
James Felsch with Marathon Petroleum Company.
Jennifer Steinerbrenner with Marathon Petroleum Company.
Ron Day with Marathon Petroleum Company.
All right, thank you. Hand it over to you.
All right, and I'm going to turn it over to Phil.
Okay, thank you for the
Who are you going to turn it over to?
Mr. Oswald in about 45 seconds.
Mr. Day.
Yes.
I just hope it doesn't come all the way back around.
You're ready, Ron. It's coming your way.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you again. I'm Carl for this opportunity to review the settlement agreement and the proposed contract amendment with Tesoro. So Montana Dakota did submit a, it'd be the second amendment to a contract for electric service to Tesoro on December 28th, 2018. That agreement was initially approved or established back in 2003, and then there was a subsequent amendment to that in 2007. On May 7th, 2019, advocacy staff and the company did enter into a settlement agreement, and that was filed before the commission, and we are seeking approval of that settlement agreement. Through that, we would approve that amendment and would look to incorporate rates that are set forth on Exhibit B1 of that that contract amendment effective upon commission approval. So with that brief introduction, I will turn it over to Mr. Oswald to kind of get in the details of this customer and the amendment.
Thank you, Carl, and good afternoon, commissioners. I'd start off a little bit, just describe the electric service that we provide to the Tesoro Mandan Refinery. We do supply service to them through at transmission level voltage, which is a higher voltage than all of our distribution customers would be. Tesoro's Mandan Refinery is actually our second largest customer on our system, on our entire integrated system, and our number one largest in North Dakota in terms of electric load. In 2018, they used about 78 million kilowatt hours, and they average a monthly demand of about 12 megawatts.
So who's your largest?
Well,
they're largest in North Dakota. Who's your largest?
Denbury, in the oil fields in Montana.
Awesome.
The proposed amendment and contract that we have is served at a rate less than the otherwise applicable rate 30 rate, recognizing their higher voltage level, service level, so as well as provision that provides them to provide, that we provide all electric service to the refinery. Primary reasons we entered into the agreement were for load growth and retention, which we have seen over the years from the refinery. And, you know, their load, the rate that we propose does provide offset to fixed costs.
What does it, at the transmission level, does that allow you to provide service? Do they pay more for that or less than like if you were stepping it down and more distribution level?
We have less investment to serve them because we don't have the distribution infrastructure investment. Okay. To serve them. They come right up at the transmission voltage.
And then they can answer this if you don't mind jumping in, but do you guys have to step it down then? Or can you use it at that higher voltage, the Tesoro folks?
They do step it
down. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So just to kind of maybe recap the terms of the amendment that we proposed, the one change from the contract that's in place is changing to a single point of delivery. The original agreement provided to 2 points of delivery, being the central substation and a substation that we had along Highway 1806. At the time when we did the original agreement, the refinery did take service at both locations and needed both for operations, but since then they have made significant investments in the central substation that serves them, and the Highway 1806 substation is no longer needed. And in fact, since we've executed this amendment, that substation has been decommissioned and removed from service completely. So the amendment basically removes that Highway 1806 substation delivery point from the agreement, so it's only applicable to the central substation service point. The contract rates that we propose on Exhibit B1 are subject to a percentage changes in our large general rate 30, so as that rate may change over time, they would change by the same percentage rate to the energy and demand charges. It does include all existing riders that we have that are tied to rate 30, and it does add a provision to provide that if there's other future riders that are approved by this commission that would be applicable to large general service rate 30, they'd also be applicable to these contract rates as well. There is a slight increase in the basic service charge. Currently they're at $95, and in the amendment it goes to $100, which is tied to the same basic service charge that rate 30, large general service rate 30 has. So, and then lastly,
it's tied to Larry. Does that mean it's the same?
It's the same.
Okay.
It's the same as what a large general service rate 30 customer would pay for basic service charge.
Okay.
And the amendment also extended the term of the agreement to a 5-year term. The agreement was on a year-to-year basis, but now in the amendment, it's a 5-year term. Part of the settlement term.
Pat, do you have a question?
Does the basic charge in rate 30, if that changes in the future, in a future rate case, does the charge to this customer change?
I believe it would. I don't believe it's specific.
It would change by that same percentage.
Same percentage, yep.
You know, so, as we would change the energy and demand components, we would then change the basic service charge. So they should stay together.
Yep.
Okay, so it isn't in the contract.
I mean, the contract doesn't, I don't believe, specifically say the basic service charge will change, but it'll change by that percentage. So it will change.
Yep.
Larry, either I didn't understand it or you kind of didn't elaborate enough on the last of those bullet points,
mm-hmm.
the rate schedule. The $965,000 and 22%, explain those, please.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did kind of skip over that. sorry about
Seems
that.
It's kind of important.
It's kind of important, yes. The amendment, because of the addition of, which is primarily driven by the addition of the riders to the agreement, is an increase of about $965,000 annually to Tesoro, or about 22% of an increase.
Remind me which riders are on this again.
Today, they don't pay any of, there's, none of the riders are on the agreement, but with the amendment, they would pay the transmission rider, the environmental rider, the generation resource rider, and the renewable energy rider.
Okay. And there are costs in each of those riders today being collected?
All except the environmental. Environmental today is at zero.
Okay.
But there are charges in all three of the other riders. So essentially all of this revenue then will flow back through those riders and offset costs to all other customers. So upon implementation of this agreement, those revenues would flow back through the riders as applicable.
And that dollar amount, $965,000, is that annually? Or what is that?
That is an annual.
That
number.
Was an annual.
I didn't know if you were going to address the five-year term, but and I don't know if this case is different than some of your other large users, but is this the normal way these are set, kind of outside of the rate case, and then you come in and do a five-year rate for them, or are they typically set during rate cases and go for however long till the next rate case? Or I just don't know if 5 years is unusual or what.
I don't think 5 years is unusual. I mean, typically we do set the agreements outside of a rate case. I mean, they're not it could be part of, but not necessarily. And then with that percentage change applicable to the agreement, it's like if there is an intervening rate case, if there is a 10% increase to rate 30, that 10% would apply to this agreement as well. Then it maintains that differential. What happened here, why we got a little out of sync, was the addition of the riders that then got us out of sync with maintaining that differential. Again, I can't speak to whether 5 years is typical in the industry, but we've had 5 to 10 year agreements in the past.
Yep.
Can you also speak to the cost of service study? And one of the terms is that you're going to do it one the next rate case, but this they must have factored into the cost of service study in previous rate cases, right? What is the cost of service study saying in terms of the cost to serve and how that's being reflected in this new term?
So how we have handled the agreements that are outside of the schedule, the rate schedules, is we've reflected the revenues as offsets to all other costs. So we haven't specifically in the last several rate cases identified specific costs to serve the customer. We look at the variable costs that we have and ensure that the agreements are not below our variable cost to serve, and saying there is a contribution to fixed costs, therefore we have not stepped outside of an executed agreement. So if we had a five-year executed agreement, for example, with that percentage change, we would not be, you know, trying to get out of the agreement, if you would. So but again, we can look at rate 30 primary cost of service and look at, we're not, because our rates aren't prescribed specifically pursuant to a cost study. So you have that first, you know, rate 30 is paying more today than what their actual, what we right. say their actual cost to serve okay. is. So you have that, it's just, you can't go right to a study and say exactly mm-hmm. this would be the number because of that. But we do look at it in terms of the contribution to fixed and saying that other customers are not harmed by this differential. And in the past, that's past commission decisions was to ensure that it's transparent and known is we report annually what that differential is between what we would have charged under the otherwise prescribed rate schedule in these agreements. So we do report that each year in our annual report. And again, the revenues were included when establishing rates. So other customers, the Tesoro's total revenues is, and I should know it, $5 million. Mm-hmm. Those revenues were all included when determining what other rates should be.
Victor, do you have more to say on that, your analysis?
So I think the short answer to what your original question was is there is no specific cost of service study to support what the cost is to serve Tesoro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason that we wanted that provision in the settlement agreement, so that the next time we have a rate case, we have specific cost of service study for that customer.
Mm-hmm.
And can say with certainty whether or not these rates are adequate to cover their costs.
But are you comfortable that knowing that Rate 30 is paying more than their cost to serve and they're kind of following that formula that they are probably at least covering their cost to serve and maybe contributing to the rest or not?
I think it's probable that this does cover the cost to serve, but I don't really have, without that cost of service study, we don't have certainty on that. And it's concerning, but that's why, again, we wanted that included
mm-hmm.
in the next rate case. And, you know, the rate case is kind of why we all came to this point. You know, in the last rate case, that contract difference that she was talking about, it's reported on their annual report, is the contract revenue delta. And that's been growing in recent years. And that grew to, I think, about $1.5 million at the time of the last rate case. So that drew us to have a requirement in that settlement agreement saying we need to look at all of these special contract rates. And this is kind of a result of that. A big portion mm-hmm. of that contract revenue delta was the riders not being included with any of the special contract rates. And for, especially at present, that is the most beneficial part of this for all other MDU customers because that helps offset their costs. So the fixed cost of a renewable rider, for example, will now be lowered to other customers since there is an additional very large user helping to contribute to that annual revenue requirement. Whereby if we were to increase the demand or the energy charges, that just goes to help MDU's bottom line.
All right. Good. Thank you.
So Tesoro owns the substation, is that right? Okay, so that's one cost that MDU doesn't have to serve this load as the substation costs and so forth. So
I think I was taking notes. Did you say the 1806 substation will be repurposed or decommissioned?
It has been decommissioned and removed from service completely. It's gone. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think we covered the settlement piece of it, which was kind of the bulk of the next slide. I guess my final comment is just we are seeking approval of the settlement agreement and an amendment to the contract. And we have Tesoro here as represented from Marathon, and Tesoro here as well as myself. And I want to thank them for attending today. And we're available for any questions you may have.
I would ask if the fuel clause adjustment is also included in here.
Yes.
That was included in the past as well.
Yes. Yep.
So that changes the settlement agreement?
No. I apologize. I didn't note it as a separate rider, but it always has applied, and it continues to apply. Jerry's correct.
And it continues.
All right.
Yep.
Victor or staff, anything else you want to add in terms of why you sign off on this?
I don't really have a whole lot more. I think the settlement really kind of covers our concerns. You know, the largest concern we probably have is that we don't have firm numbers to support what the cost is to serve the customer. And without requiring an expensive cost of service study right now, this is the best way we can do that. And particularly thinking about, again, if it comes out that we're not covering the cost to serve, other customers aren't being harmed at present, and increasing the cost.
How do you know that? that the other customers aren't being harmed at the present?
Is that in comparison to previous rates because it went up by 22% from 65,000?
So I guess maybe that's a better way to look at it. They would be less harmed. I don't know. Maybe I'm really saying that whole thing wrong. So maybe, let me back off of that one a little bit. So I won't say customers aren't being harmed with their present rate. But if we were to increase their present rate, if the cost of service study shows that they aren't covering the cost, customers will see no benefit from that today if we increase their rate. And you will see a benefit. Any increase in the demand or energy charges to the SORO right now outside of a rate case are just additional revenue that MPD needs to keep. Because we already set their other collections from
the
customer class.
Mm-hmm.
So during the next rate case, if we find that they're not covering their cost of service, we could do something through there whereby we would eliminate any additional cost to other customers.
And why would riders be left off in previous negotiations?
I would assume they just weren't contemplated at the time.
Okay. So they didn't exist. Yeah. Then when we added them, we just didn't say, oh, we got to add these to the contracts too?
We did.
Is that how that happened?
The agreements were renegotiated at that time.
No. We're not. Okay. How many other contracts are out there without the riders?
Two other contracts.
You'll see one here shortly.
Yep.
The other one's coming in.
All right.
Yep.
So this gives you greater assurance that the cost of service is being covered. You use the word probable. Certainly moved in that direction.
It is moving in the right direction, and at present, this is the best way relative to other customers that this could be.
Jack, you look like you want to say something.
There really isn't a whole lot more that's necessary to say, but at present, this really just helped us move in a direction where we can have a rational basis to make a decision on the class or the cost of service of the customer. So to me, this just seems like the best avenue to proceed on this decision for the company, I think, as well as for staff and the commission.
Tesoro, you guys have any comments?
So is there, in the contract, is there a provision for renegotiating the contract before the end of the contract?
I think if you look under the terms of the settlement, I think the settling parties there, we didn't contemplate that. I know when we were passing this back and forth and you read that, it says the settling parties agree that upon review of the cost of service to SORO in the next General Electric rate case, amendment number 2 may be subject to commission modification. So that was contemplated during our negotiations.
Okay. I don't know if the customer has anything to add.
I think they covered everything. I think that the new riders, our rates will be going up to $965,000 annually, and this does provide the discount, I think, that was originally agreed upon. And so this does keep us at a competitive rate. We do have some generation at the facility that we do run, and we continue to evaluate those various options there. And so it's important to have these types of competitive rates in place. Electricity is like our third largest cost for our facilities, our feedstock and our people and electricity. So those rates are important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in line with our other facilities as we look at growth.
How does this compare to your other facilities and other locations? Sorry, Victor.
This is a little bit on the higher end.
Okay.
Compared to some of the other states, but it all depends on what generation you have and what location you have and what other types of businesses around you. I mean, we understand that.
Mm-hmm.
How much generation do we have? Yeah.
Is it 9?
I believe it's 9 megawatts. 3.1 megawatt units.
Is that just backup generation?
It's in the original agreement.
Those are natural gas.
They are fuel oil. Fuel gas.
Fuel gas.
So is that used, is that a kind of baseload thing that you use? And so what you're really buying from MDU is what you need in addition to that? So this doesn't really have so much to do with the rates, but we have all this paperwork and keep referring to Tesoro. I assume it should either be Andeavor or probably Marathon by now, but what are we supposed to be using?
It is in the correct name, the entry name for the contract is Tesoro.
And marketing, TRMC, okay. Tesoro Refining and Marketing Company.
Okay.
But the parent company is Marathon Petroleum.
Okay. Any other questions? I sense that you might.
I feel like I do, but I don't know how relevant they are, so I might just hold off.
Commissioner Christman.
Any other questions I have, I know are irrelevant, so.
Well, I would echo the same thoughts. So.
Are these guys interruptible? Or are you? No.
No.
Firm. So, okay. So if there were times where you needed to back it out, Tesoro wouldn't it be one of them?
Nope. No, not there.
Nope.
I mean, firm service there. They haven't signed up to be interrupted. They don't want to be interrupted.
Right.
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 You know, that's,
right.
And do you have more backup generation in case of an emergency?
No.
No? Okay. All right.
I spent quite a bit of time this morning kind of talking through some of, you know, what, you know, was it provided a good opportunity to visit with these folks, too, about, you know, how we do serve the refinery and the fact that, you know, there's multiple feeds in through that one substation. So it's very important to us as well to ensure that reliable service.
Yeah, there's redundancy.
And part of the agreement then is that they don't install additional generation at that point. That was part of the original agreement. It just doesn't show up because this is the amendment, but that is part of what we're trying to ensure that we maintain that load that we have.
Okay.
It's again, very significant contribution to fixed costs.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Very good. Thanks for the information.
Okay, the handout as well as the audio recording of this proceeding is now considered evidence. Is there any objection to this evidence becoming a part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached?
Not from staff.
No objection.
Okay, I don't sense there's anything else anyone would like to add. The evidence as presented will now become part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for this record? Seeing none, this informal hearing is now closed. Thank you.